Pastor.
Okay, shalom, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. As always, we're going to start off with some praise and worship. And after praise and worship, we will get into the Word. Of course, Rashawn is here today. The only man. When did you start that? How old were you?
When 10.
You started playing?
Yeah.
Wow. Many talents, man of many talents. Anyway, let's get started. Let's praise God and let's get into the Word. He's doing my wife's song tonight. Give my wife a shout out.
Big ups to Drea tonight.
All right, let's go.
Time to shine.
my way. I know that I will always win. I am victorious in the name of the Lord. I am victorious in the name of the Lord.
What is this, Pastor Ben? I didn't see this earlier. This is nice.
Very nice.
That goes in my office. I mean at home. I love that. Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And that too?
Let there be air.
Let there be air.
Isn't that beautiful?
And that will go.
Is that a flag?
That is a flag. We got to fly this, Pastor Ben.
I know. We should.
Oh.
We should climb up on that roof.
You know. That would be, wow. Is that beautiful or what?
Beautiful.
Do you know who all this stuff is from?
Yes. I put it in the bag.
You did?
I wrote it on the bag where it came from. That's why I said don't separate it.
This right here?
Yes. From the box. All that stuff.
Is this Colette? This is all Colette.
Her name is on the box.
Yeah.
The box.
It should be.
It is.
And holy, holy, holy. This is it?
No, turn around. There you go. Little blue label. See it?
Yeah, that's Colette and her husband who she married in Israel, 1967. Hallelujah, or they met in 1967. Colette, you are spoiling me. You're giving me so much beautiful Israeli stuff. I gotta use all of this stuff. Because I haven't been to Israel, but I want to go. And we are going to fly that flag.
Man.
We had a Israeli flag.
We have one. It's right here.
Is it? Oh, it's right there. There it is. Okay, well, praise God. I can take mine home then.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Colette. And the chocolates were good. They were delicious. I'm glad you told me to keep them because they were delicious. And I don't know what this is. I don't want to open this.
I'm going to have to turn this one off
We have a credible message for you guys tonight. I hope you enjoyed Sunday's message, because Sunday's message, I think should have, I'm always trying to leave no doubt in your mind and in your heart about what God is doing. That's a beautiful for the missus.
Sorry, guys.
And And then I don't know what this stuff is right here, Colette, but I'm gonna give it a shot. I don't know what that, it looks like dried fruit, pomegranates, all kinds of stuff. Hallelujah, and tea, which I'm getting used to drinking. Now this is also from Colette, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry you guys, we do this, but some of you guys, I don't like people.
Latin is Yen.
I think I say her name right, but it's the same.
This is the last name.
Yes, it's Colette. Yankowitz. I'm not going to go for the last name because I can't.
It's Yankowitz.
Uh-huh. Okay, I didn't want to mess it up. Is that beautiful or what?
That should go in the cabinet. When you
wow.
With the other one.
That is a beautiful menorah.
With the pomegranate one.
Wow, that's a Hanukkah menorah.
Yeah.
How do you know the difference between Hanukkah menorah and the Revelation 12, I mean 4 menorah? How do you know the difference? 9. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The 9th, so it lasted 8 days. The 9th is the servant oil. So that's a Hanukkah menorah. Thank you so much, Cole. I appreciate you and your wonderful husband. And shalom, manishma, tagva, anaknu tikva, hakol b'seder. Okay. Now we're going to go through this real fast because I can't read it, but I am going to read it tomorrow during class, okay?
You're going to show the comic book?
Well, I'm going to read these letters out first, and then we're going to save the comic book for last. And Pastor Ben, where am I? And holy, holy. I'm looking for my glasses, Pastor Ben. It's not good. This is not good. Did I already? Oh, there they are. Ha ha. I'm way ahead of you. Okay. Now, here we are. Here's a letter from Joshua David. And when you guys see my box, you're going to love it. And this picture of me and Pastor Ben, this is what I'm talking about. This is the type of stuff I love. See that? That's me and Pastor Ben at the cloud party talking a whole lot of crazy, like, boy, security. Man, that's a blessing. Praise God. Okay. And that's from Joshua David. Shalom in Hong Kong. Is that our friends in Hong Kong that I talk to? Mm-hmm. I'm talking to people in Hong Kong on the phone, Pastor Ben. S4C is stretched beyond our imaginations. Okay, and this is from, this should be from Donica. Yep, this is from Donica because I always know because she has her homework. For all you people, I'm not trying to make you jealous of her homework, but look at that beautiful writing. And this is the Lord's Prayer, and she wrote it out. She gets an A.
Beautiful.
She gets an A. Avanu Shabbat Shabbaim Yikadeshim Chatavo Melum Teka Yatserot Zanaka Be'aretzke Asher Ne'asa.
Beautiful.
So that is very beautiful. I don't know how to give you an A for that. That's an A++. That is absolutely beautiful. And then our wonderful friend Deborah, she's always sending me a nice, beautiful card as well. The dog has become our symbol. Mm-hmm. Keep barking. I'm gonna keep barking. Yeah. I'm telling you, this is, and God keeps giving me more and more information because he wants to remove all the doubt out of everyone's mind about what he's planning,
right,
and keep our minds off of what Satan is planning. Because I can care less about his plans. Now, watch this. You see this? Show them that, Pastor Ben. You see that? You know who that is? That's the dun 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 Rapture Squad. Pastor Sandman and DJ.
Ivan
MC.
Fletcher.
Ivan Fletcher did they do I gotta look up Ivan Fletcher, because they did a cartoon for a Christian cartoon, Superheroes. This is awesome. And if you want to read the whole comic books,
I put it on Facebook.
Did you?
I did.
You put it all in. I'm gonna read it though, okay. So you can get it. Like, watch this, because I used to read comic books.
Yeah?
Yeah, when I was little. Then he goes, and this guy's going, yeah, not, I was your size at 12, Pastor Bill. It says, you guys are idiots. All you talk about is the stupid rapture. Don't you get it? There's no rapture. That's this guy. And see all the spit coming out of her? And I'm like, Pastor Ben, pray for me. This guy's spitting on my face and his breath stinks. You know I can't stand it. No, nobody's spitting on me. Lord, help me. Because Pastor Ben knows I'm not from a good neighborhood. So Pastor Ben says he's spitting on me, but don't do anything because we're too close to the rapture. Then the rapture happens. There's me and Pastor Ben on the clouds. And look who has muscles.
Yeah,
Pastor Ben.
I finally got
that's him. How you know it's a resurrected body.
Oh, man. Oh, that's cool. I mean, that's funny, but that's cool.
And I'll read the letter tomorrow. All right.
Can I show him the inside, Pastor? I won't show him the letter part. I just want to show him the inside.
What? Oh, okay. Hallelujah.
So they can see.
And this is our friend Jeff in Montreal. Jeff is in Montreal, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he is in Montreal. I would love to meet Jeff. Go up to Canada and meet him. Hope all is well. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, I love Jesus. Keep up excellent work reaching the lost souls. I've been handing out hundreds of gospel tracts. He is on it. Hallelujah. I was working out and witnessing, trying to witness to this guy. It was something, because he was, yeah, because you know, for, he was smoking weed, and then he noticed my Christian T-shirt, so I had to stop and talk to him, and it was kind of nice. Did I give you my the title for tonight? Okay, yeah, here it is. Thank you. Okay. Rapture, the wise will understand. I want to explain, well, first of all, can I just say that they had a Democratic convention? Did you guys watch that?
Nope.
The Democratic convention?
I heard about it.
Okay. It was like, I'm going to call it the demon convention, the
demon
National Demon Convention, because it was crazy. You know who opened up with a speech? The same guy that was on the plane and went to the pedophile island 27 times.
Bill Clinton?
They let Bill Clinton speak.
No.
I thought surely they won't let him speak. He was 27 times at Island Pedophile,
that's
right?
The best they got?
No, they're going to let Hillary speak. They're letting a whole lot of demons speak. It's like Demon Week. But it was absolutely, I was like, they have no shame. Did they forget? Do they think we forgot that Bill Clinton was on the plane 27 times?
Yep.
Or they just like think like we're nobody, I don't know. They must think what people are really dumb.
Well, nothing of them think we're stupid anyway.
And then they had John Legend sing a song who has pedophile indictments against him. So it's like, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. It was crazy. I want you guys to know that you have the most hated president ever in the history of America.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen a president this hated? Okay?
Not even Nixon.
Now listen. No, none of them. I mean, even when Bill Clinton got caught in the White House with the young girl, they still didn't hate him. No, but there's got to be a reason why they hate this president. There has to be a reason. You know? Because not all of Hollywood, all these different people, all these witches coming to pray against you, all this stuff going on. And, you know, and then we still got Christians saying, I wish Hillary would have won. And it's like, I don't understand what's going on. This is a crazy world. The The fact that the Clintons hate him make me like him, because something must be right. So let's get into today's Bible study. Okay, Sunday, we're trying to explain to everyone this thing concerning us being in a judgment year. The year of the time of the judgment beginning, okay? I try to make it as clear as possible. So I am going to do my best to try and make you understand that God is involved and that we have to stay on track, focus on Jesus and not focus on the world. And we have to look out for snakes. I'm going to start with prayer. Praise God.
Amen.
Abanu Shabbat Shabbat in Yid Kadesh Shemcha. Baruch Shemcha Adonai Torah Rabalaka Lecha Erev. Father God, in Jesus' name, bless your word. Bless the message that you've given me for your people tonight, Father God. Bless their wisdom, Father God. Bless them to be so inquisitive, Father God, that they will search the word out for themselves and see, Father God, that your word has been solidified throughout history and that you are controlling history and you are even in control of these very last days. We thank you, Father God, that we are in your hands and in your trusted care, that you watch over your children and no harm can come to those whom you love, Father God. In Jesus' name, we give you praise, we give you thanks, and we give you blessings. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, somebody told me Christians have always suffered persecution. I know that. If somebody comes and arrests me today and they take me and they chop my head off, and the rapture hasn't happened, that is not tribulation, that's persecution,
right?
Okay?
Right.
So I can't expect like, okay, nothing will ever happen to me because, you know, but I'm saying persecution, if you want to live godly, you shall suffer persecution. There have been people who have died because they believe in Jesus Christ, okay? In China, it was, you could get arrested. I mean, you had to sneak Bibles in there. And people went to prison and were killed for having underground churches there. So persecution has always been a part of being a Christian, okay? We're not talking about that. We're talking about you shall not see the tribulation.
Right.
The tribulation is God's beginning of God's judgment upon the world. And that's what God is saying. You're not going to see tribulation. And since tribulation is right before us, we want to make sure that we are walking with the Lord and that we are in tune with him, because the world is trying to throw you off.
Amen.
They're trying to give you all kinds of different things to look at concerning what the big, bad, evil people are doing, and not trying to keep you focused on what has the Bible said, on what has the Bible said. And what I'm trying to do is keep you focused on what the Bible says, because it doesn't matter if your enemy is plotting your demise, if the Bible says he's going to be destroyed right in front of your eyes and he'll never touch you. Okay? So let's keep our eyes focused on what God is doing and not what the Illuminati is doing. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor, man. Yeah, what's up? Turned away from me, huh? Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you. Good deal. Okay. Today's Bible study is going to start in the book of Hosea, because the Lord wants me to make sure that you guys are wise concerning what's going on. We have studied Hosea concerning God calling Hosea as a prophet and giving Hosea different things that and different similitudes and different understandings of scripture, so that God can show Hosea what he's going through. Okay, remember, Hosea was a single guy, okay? God told him to go and find a, and get a wife and go choose yourself a wife, okay? Now, he doesn't tell Hosea, go choose a godly, faithful woman. He says, go and take for yourself a wife of harlotry. Go and take yourself a wife that cheats on you and has children with other men. Go and have, go and make and find yourself a wife like this. Why is God doing this? Why does God want Hosea to marry somebody who he knows is not going to be faithful? He wants Hosea to experience what he's going through, okay? Because what God was going through was he had a wife, and the wife that he had was Israel. It was solidified with the Ten Commandments. And once that was solidified, it seemed like they took opportunity after opportunity to serve any other God other than the God that brought them out of Israel. So if you're in the book of Hosea, I'm not going to go through the first portion very strong, but I do want us to understand it, okay? So it says in verse 2, when the Lord began to speak to Hosea, the Lord said to him, go take yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. So he married Gomer of Debilim, and she conceived and bore him a son. So now he marries Gomer. We all know this study. Gomer is the ancient name of Germany, okay? God is at the same time taking Hosea, and he's introducing to Hosea and into the prophecy what God is going to do with Israel. He's introducing to him that their punishment is going to be in Germany. So he tells him, pick a wife, and he said he married Gomer, which is the ancient name of Germany, okay? And you can find that out in Genesis chapter 10 if you go through all of the nations that God brought forth. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call him Jezreel, because I will punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel. And I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day, I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel. Now, he's breaking Israel's bow. What does that mean he's doing? He's breaking the covenant, the contract. So when you get to Revelation and it says that, that someone comes with a white horse and he has a bow and he goes out to conquer and conquer, it's because this crazy, because he's trying to conquer all these nations, but it says he comes with a bow. So let's continue on. I already asked God to kill it, Pastor Ben. I think he died of a heart attack. So God is saying, I'm going to break Israel's bow. I'm going to destroy the contract, the government contract, or the marital contract that I have with Israel. So God has a marital contract with Israel, but now he's going to break this contract as a husband. Now, what is one of the reasons that you can be divorced, that you can divorce? Adultery. So God is saying Israel has committed adultery, therefore legally I have the right to divorce her, okay? So God is divorcing Israel. So that means to this very day, Israel is a divorced wife. Do we understand that?
Yes.
Because if God is going to show his prophecy through Hosea, then Hosea's got to do the same thing that God's going to do. So let's continue to read on, okay? So he says he's going to break their bow in the valley of Jezreel. And Jezreel is what we call Armageddon now. And it says, Gomer conceived again, and she bare Lo-Ruhamah. Lo-Ruhamah means no mercy. So now he's saying there will be no mercy for Israel, okay? So in Gomer, there will be what? No mercy. Now he says they have another child, and he says, name him Lo-Ami. Am is people, Ami is my people, Lo is no, so is Lo-Ami not my people, okay? So God says there will be no mercy in Germany. You will not be my people, and you will not receive mercy from me in Germany. Okay, and you will not be my people. So this has been announced as a judgment on Israel. Where at? In Gomer. Did it happen?
Yes.
It happened. Why is God telling us 2,000 years before it happens what country is going to happen in? So that you will be wise and you will know if God prophesied this 1,000 years before there was a Germany, then that means somebody up there is controlling the narrative on the earth.
Amen.
You understand? So they do go to Gomer, and they do receive a judgment of no mercy. And in Germany, they were considered not his people, okay? But now, we have to understand something here. Now watch this. In Hosea chapter 2, let's read. Now watch this. He says, say to your brothers. He's talking to Hosea right now. Watch this. Say to your brothers. Now watch what he says. My people and your sister, my loved one. Okay? And he uses the word in Hebrew, say to your people, Ami, Ami, which means my people, and say to your sister, Ruhama, which means mercy. Now he's saying she will receive mercy, and they are my people. So are they not your people, or are they your people? Are you not going to have mercy on them, or are you going to have mercy on them? God is saying, look, I have not turned my back on Israel. They have received punishment for what they went through, and there they were not my people, and they received no mercy. But now in chapter 2, he says, he calls them my people, and he calls them who receive mercy. Okay? So for anyone who starts with this, Israel's the worst country, and they're the worst people, and you got to do Palestine, get away from all that. Israel is God's people. So Hosea is going to go through exactly what God went through dealing with a rebellious people, okay? A rebellious wife, okay? Now, let's go to Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. It says, the Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again. Now, this is what happens to Hosea. Hosea's wife cheats on him, has children from other people, right? He sells her, and then God says, go get her back. Go and repurchase your wife back to yourself.
That's what he did.
Now, you know, most men be like, no, I'm not. But God is saying, I'm showing you the love I have for Israel. Even though they have cheated on me, they have worshiped every other god, they have done absolutely nothing that I've asked them, they have bowed to other gods, yet, even though it's a horrible wife, he says, I put her away, he says, I'm going to go back at a later time and repurchase her back to myself. So God's going to do this. And then look what he says. He said, the Lord said, go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. Though they turn to other gods and love the secret raisin cakes, Hosea says, so I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lithic of barley. Now, he repurchased her with what?
15.
With 15 shekels of what? Silver. What's blood money? What did Judas receive?
Silver.
What did Judah receive? Silver. So silver in the scriptures is always considered the symbol of blood, okay? So he's showing, remember, Hosea is just Jesus in Greek, I mean in Hebrew. Hosea is just, so Jesus is going to come and he's going to repurchase this horrible wife who has cheated on him. He's going to repurchase her, but he's saying, I'm going to repurchase her with my own blood, because silver is representing blood. So he repurchased her for 15 pieces of silver. And so Israel is going to be saved once again. And he says he's going to do it. He's going to reunite himself with Israel in the same valley that he said, Lo Ami, Lo Rumama. And where did he say that? In the valley of Jezreel. And where's Jezreel? Today, Armageddon. So God is saying what? I am going to repurchase them when? At the end, at the very end, when the Armageddon war is taking place, he's going to repurchase Israel in Armageddon, okay? So that will be the time that Jesus comes and repurchase Israel back to himself. Okay? Now, I want us to first go to Jeremiah chapter 16 first. Jeremiah chapter 16. Where is Germany in location to Israel? And where's Russia and Europe in location to Israel? It's north of Israel, directly north, okay? Now, this is the place where the people return to Israel. But listen to what the scripture says, thousands of years before it happened. However, it says, however, the days are coming, declared the Lord, when men will no longer say, as surely as the Lord who lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt. But they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of the land of the north and out of all their forefathers. So now God's saying the big boast about Israel is not going to be that God rescued them out of Egypt. The big boast is that God rescued us from the north country and brought us back to Israel. And so why is God telling you that it's going to be the north country where they're going to come back from? God wants you to know that he's controlling the world. That's why Psalms is the 19th book of the Bible. That's why it's 19 books from Genesis. That's why it's 48 books back from Revelation. That's why they were rebirthed in 1948. Is God trying to hide from us some secret plan of redemption? No. Is he trying to hide from us the fact of who's in charge of the world? If he didn't want you to know, he didn't have to write it before it happened. Man. But because people don't use wisdom, they don't look at what God has done to verify who he is.
Amen.
That's a hard thing. Because when you get saved, sometimes you forget. You forget what God saved you out of. And this is why my wife, she writes everything down. Because when she gets into another situation, she wants to remember what God did in that situation before. A good memory keeps you in contact with God. Because now you see, he delivered me before, he will deliver me again. But if you forget that how he delivered you before, then you forget that he's God. And God wants to remind you, I'm the one that brought Israel back into the land. I'm the one that told you 1,000 years before they came back to the land that they returned from the north country. I'm not talking about Egypt. I'm talking about the north country. I'm the one that chose the year 1948. God is the one who's choosing me. He is the God who chose 1967.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 3, backwards. I think it's far more interesting to me to know what God has done than what Satan is planning.
Amen.
It marvels me what God has done. I can't believe what God has done, like how he's, like, for instance, say that in 70 years, this temple will be destroyed and every stone will be turned over. And then it happens exactly 70 AD. And then it's recorded that every stone was turned over as they looked for gold. It's like in the book of Josephus says, the Roman general said, turn over every stone until you find every piece of gold. 38 years before that happened, Jesus said, this temple is going to be destroyed and every stone is going to be turned over. So God is doing things. Why? So that the wise will see it and they will know who's God and they will know who to serve. Okay? So in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1, it says, if a man divorces his wife and she leaves him and marries another man, should he return to her again? Would not the land be completely defiled? You hear that? But you have lived as a prostitute with many lovers. Talking to Israel. Would you now return to me? Declared the Lord. So God is saying, I want Israel to return to me. But if you go back and get the wife that you divorced because of adultery, you defile the land. How is God going to solve this? How is God going to solve the fact that he can't go back and marry the same woman again? It'll defile the land. And how does she get past the fact that she cannot remarry again until her husband dies? So that means God has to do something to fix both those problems. That means God has to give her a new husband and a new covenant. And that means her old husband would have to die on the cross, and they would have to document it by writing what? Yeshua HaNazarene. Right? Four words, Jesus the Nazarene and King of the Jews. Vemelech veYahudim. Yahudim. And so you got four words. Each word has the name Yeshua is the first letter of each four words written above his head so that everybody knows that not only is Jesus on the cross, Yahweh is on the cross. So now when Yahweh dies, Israel can now have a new husband because she can come into a new covenant. Jesus can now go back and marry Israel because he's a new man with a new covenant. So God fixed the problem. You understand? God is, he's showing you that his wisdom in dealing with us far surpasses us. You understand? Here we go. I want to ask this question, though. He pays 15 shekels of silver. Why? Why does he pay 15 shekels of silver? He's going to redeem her, right? Where does the redemption begin? With 15 shekels of silver. Where does the redemption begin for Eve? Eve, her number, her name is numerical value 19, but guess what? That's the 15th letter of the Bible. Samech is the 15th letter of the Bible. You guys have done this study with me. Every 15 in the Bible is a judgment and a beginning of something new. Study it out for yourself. So when he gives 15 shekels of silver, he's giving 15 shekels of silver to say what? This is the beginning of your redemption and being married back to your husband. It's the beginning. It's not the end. It's the beginning. Now, go to 2 Kings chapter 20. I'm sorry I didn't give you guys any notes today because we are in transition. So as soon as we get out of transition, I'll be back up and running. Okay. Now, are you in 2 Kings chapter 20?
Yeah.
I want you guys to understand this, because this will link into Sunday. Because what God was trying to show you Sunday was, he's marked the beginning to count down to the end. He's marked the beginning to count down to the redemption, okay? Now listen to this. It says, in those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die and you will not recover. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayers and seen your tears. I will heal you on the third day. You will go up to the temple of the Lord. When? On the third day. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hands of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. So there you are. And what is that? 15. He's going to add 15 years to his life. Where do you think he get that from? Did he just come up like, let's see, what should I give him? Or is God going back to the redemption of Eve being the 15th letter, and the flood not covering the whole earth until it reached the 15th, and then everything is going to be in judgment, is going to be on the 15th. So the 15 is a very important number. Now he says, I'm going to give you 15 years, and on the third day, you're going to go up to the temple to be with the Lord. Okay? So that's what he does. And you know what Hosea does? Hosea says, I'm going to write 15 psalms. And these 15 psalms are going to solidify what God has promised me. And what has God promised him? That on the third day you will go up to the temple and be with the Lord. Okay? So he writes Psalms 120 to 134, called the Psalms of what? Ascending up. So he writes the Psalms of ascent in Psalms 120 to Psalms 134. And these Psalms from 120 to 127 mirrors the tribulation and the rapture. Then you finish the Psalms out until you get to Psalms 34. Why is it 15? Because this is the beginning of the redemption. The beginning of the redemption is the Psalm of Ascent. When there is an ascension, the Psalms will begin to the Mi Allah and the going up and the redemption of Israel. This is why 15 is so important. Understand? God is showing you, okay? God is showing you. Now, how does Hezekiah come up with? Hezekiah, the temple is built with 15 stairs. Do you guys know that? Yeah. To go up, if you want to go up to the Shekinah glory, God made it this way. If you want to go, because who told him to design the temple? God. So it's God that said to come up to the Holy of Holies in the temple, make 15 stairs. Why? Because Samech is the 15th letter of the Bible, and Samech is the beginning of the sin that caused the redemption portion to happen. Because Samech came from Eve, who was 19. So this 19 and this 120 is always going to play in. And now what's playing in is also the 15th letter. And so now the redemption is going. So now every year, now do you guys know what a mikra is? A mikra is a dress rehearsal. So every year, okay, at Tabernacles, they take steps to go up to the Shekinah glory to be with the Lord. Okay? Each step they take, you know whose song they sing? They sing Hezekiah's 15 songs. And they sing that song on the first step, and they sing that song on the second step. And when they come to the 15th step, they're in the Shekinah glory. They're in the kingdom. And God said, start it with this. Why? He's always talking to you. He's telling you about your redemption. He's telling you how it's going to happen. He's telling you what year it is. He's telling you when it's close. He's telling you when the 6,000 years are over. He's telling you when jubilees are happening. He's telling you when the jubilees are happening, right? Because if he's not telling you, then Balfour Court, he doesn't walk into Jerusalem and declare Jerusalem to belong to the Jews in 1917. And then in 1967, he doesn't win a six-day war and then declare to the world that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews exactly 50 years later. Then let's count another 50. Let's have Trump declare to the world that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. Yeah. If he's not trying to prove to you that he's in control, why does he keep controlling everything and showing you that he's controlling everything so that you can know that God is in control? You don't have to worry. Because we think that things happen by chance. Oh, it was just, I just happened to find a bag of Chuck Missler CDs and cassette tapes in the trash can. I have come to know right now that God put those CDs in the trash can for me to go out and find them at the exact moment that I did so that I would gain a hunger for his word. I used to believe that it just happened. Now, after I've learned the Bible, I realize God don't just think, things don't just happen. Like Greg's thing, he just happened to meet a guy that wants to help him learn woodwork. It just happens, okay? Then he now just happened to have, you know, the job that he has because he went through that and he just happened to do this. You know, God puts us on a pattern and he's like, I'm gonna show you I'm God, but I'm gonna start it out in the beginning. I'm going to lead and guide this. And God is leading and guiding Israel to their redemption. And guess what? God has been leading and guiding the church to the rapture. And he wanted you to know when the 6,000th year ended. And he wanted you to know about 2017. That's why Scotty Clark came up with all that. He's trying to keep the church engaged. Because he knows we go to sleep. Yep. He's trying to keep us engaged. So now he's saying, he gives us all of this information so that you know that there's a rapture coming. And if you're wise, you'll learn from the past. If you're not wise, no matter what happened to you in the past, you keep making the same mistake because you don't learn from the past. So what happened from 1939 to 1945? For 6 years, one man killed 6 million Jews. One man in charge of one country going out to conquer and destroy other nations. For 6 years, he killed 6 million Jews. Not just other people that he killed. This is how he did it. He had concentration camps built. And in those concentration camps, because see, it's very hard to just go up and killing people right in front of other people because other people who aren't involved in it really have a conscience, understand? So he built these concentration camps near areas where they can transport people to the concentration camps and that there they can kill the people. The same thing began happening to the world in 2006. They started building concentration camps. They called them immigration detention centers. Mm-hmm. Then they started putting caskets at each one. You posted it today. And so then they start delivering guillotine and somebody's already built the concentration camps. Yeah. Do they put it on the news? No. They got rid of that guy's show after he showed that, didn't they?
Oh yeah.
He no longer had a show after showing that. Because you're not supposed to know about that. Romans chapter 11.
10 minutes.
Praise God, that's perfect time.
Need some water?
No, I'm fine. I have one right here. But thank you for reminding me. I'll sit there and struggle and forget that I got water. Romans chapter 11, and we're going to be in verse 11. And I want you to really listen to this, especially being born again Christians, because you need to know that you are not some special breed of people saved by grace. And absolutely, you can now sin as much as you want because you're this special breed of people, okay? So God is trying to use this chapter to explain to you that he had some children before you came in.
Yeah.
You understand?
Amen.
And this is it. So it says here, chapter 11, Romans, verse 11, it said, I asked, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Did Israel stumble so far that God is not going to recover them?
No,
God is still going to redeem Israel. Not all, it says, not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgressions mean riches for the world and their loss means riches for the Gentile, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? I am talking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I make much of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection is reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead, resurrection? If the part of the dough offered as first fruit is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If the branches have been broken off, has Israel been broken off? Yes. And you, through a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap of the olive root. Do not boast over those branches. You hear that? Do not boast that, oh, look at me, I'm saved, I know Jesus, and those Jews don't know Jesus. They were cut off for what? For your sake and their disobedience. Now watch this. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You do not support Israel. Israel's history supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant. Be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Now, I'm going to read it the way once saved, always saved will say. Because if God did not spare his natural children, but you're saved by grace, so don't you worry about it. Sin as much as you want. You're okay. That's not what the scripture said. He said, be fearful, because I had some kids, and they were my kids. Now, you telling me you love adopted kids more than your own kids? You kicked your own kids out for what? Disobedience. And now you have these new kids, and they're doing the same thing that your original kids did? You would say, hasta la vista, right? God is saying this. be afraid as you walk with God, because don't think that you carry some special privilege because you came in through grace, through Christ. He said, remember, I cut off my own children for disobedience. I'm gonna read it again. Do not be arrogant, be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fail, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Can I read that again? application NIV. It says, consider therefore the kindness and sternness, the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fail, but kindness to you, provided you receive God's kindness. And it says, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty plain. Okay? If they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut off of an olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to nature, were grafted into and cultivated olive tree, how much more ready will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So God's saying, I'm going to save Israel. I'm going to graft them back in. I'm going to remarry them. You understand? God has made provisions to remarry them. But now what does it say then? Because see, you can't be arrogant thinking that you have some special privilege that you can act any way you want once you come into Christ. Theirs was a covenant, and Jesus says, this is the new covenant in my blood, okay? Keep his words, okay? I do not want you to be ignorant, you Gentiles of the mystery, brethren, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles travel and leave and enter the city, which is a coma, he means, till the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And so all of Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn godlessness away from Jacob. When? After all the Gentiles have left and gone into the kingdom. Then after, what? 7 years after, he will come, and then he will rescue all of Israel, because he made that promise to who? The patriarchs. And his promise can't be voided out. So, there is no promise to anyone that if you continue in sin, I'll still save you. Okay? Because they got cut off for their sin. God had to die to bring them back into a new covenant. You understand? You're in this covenant that they're longing for, or God has provided for them, but they haven't received it yet. But you've received it. And so now we need to walk in what? Obedience, yeah. Because we realize we're not even the real kids. We've been grafted in. And so God says, be very afraid, because if he broke off his own kids because of disobedience, what makes you think he's going to allow you to live any way you want and still be in Christ?
That's true.
It's just common sense, right? But he's not going to rescue them till he takes the Gentiles out. Always letting you know the Gentiles are leaving first, okay? So this is the message for tonight. God has orchestrated history so that you know what he's doing. In the 19th year, King says, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's rule, the commanders went in and destroyed the temple in the 19th year. Why did he say it's in the 19th year? 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8. Why does he say it's in the 19th year? Because Israel is born when? 1948. He knows 19 years later in 1967, he's going to give Israel Jerusalem back. But he has to orchestrate it that it happens exactly 19 years apart. But when did he talk about it? In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 25. So 1949 to 1967 was controlled by God. And so why would we worry about anyone else when your God is orchestrating history and time? So if he could continue writing, which he basically has, he said they will have to receive a mark in their hand or in their forehead, and you're seeing it being constructed right now. So he's basically telling you, you're at the beginning of this thing. Can't you see it? If you're wise, you will see what God has done. You'll follow God. You'll trust God. You'll be obedient to God, and you will enter into the rapture. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.